Well, good evening. It's good to be here in God's house. We're glad to see all of you here. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We have a good crowd here tonight in the house of God, and we're so thankful that you took your time to come out and be with us. And the youth zone still coming in back over there. And they'll be getting in and having a seat here in a moment. Glad to have visitors our way. You're supposed to get down around freezing time tonight, sometime around 2:30, 3 in the morning. I don't know if they get here in our area, but they are calling for it. So be careful with your husband's wife. Don't lock them up too long. Let them in around 1 o'clock, straighten them out. You know, watch your plants and your dogs, and drip your water if you have to. Rather drip a little water than have to fix a broken pipe, that's for sure. Sometimes they clued us with that Ocala weather forecast just to scare us a little bit, I think. It could sneak in down there on us. I'm not sure. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brother, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is giving to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, divers kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. But all of these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, we started this here chapter last Wednesday night. We looked at verses 1 through 3. In verse 1, Paul's just basically tell us he wouldn't have us to be ignorant about spiritual gifts, that he wants us to have knowledge concerning those spiritual gifts. And in verse 2, he said you need to look at where you came from. You had part of this ignorance is because of your past, where you came from and how you lived and how you were taught. Verse 2. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols. They were pagan idol worshipers. So a lot of their ignorance came about because of their past situation. Frankly, a lot of our personal ignorance when it comes to spiritual things, you know, remember, ignorance is not derogatory in any shape, form, or fashion. It's just simply without knowledge. And so we're without knowledge in some areas of our life, and some of it spiritually is by choice. We are willingly ignorant, the scriptures say, and we choose to be. Well, how is that, Pastor? Well, we come upon portions and passages of scripture that goes contrary to our desires, our way of life, and we just kind of overlook them. We just kind of breeze by them and say, well, that's good reading, and I'll catch up on that down the road sometime. And so we stay willingly ignorant. As far as I've been, my walk with God and how I've grown closer in the Lord is that when the Lord deals with me in a certain area of my life, if I will not face up to that area, I'm not growing nowhere else. He's not going to talk to me nowhere else. If he's dealing with me in anger, if I have an anger issue and I'm not willing to get my anger under control and subdue that and bring it under submission, why should God move over here and begin to work, on giving? Well, I'm not listening over here, so will I listen over here? See, when God's dealing with us about an issue, He wants to get that right then, right there. He doesn't want to put it off too more, though. So I'll tell you, the flesh says, hey, I'm just not quite ready for that. And we go along willingly ignorant in that situation there. And then, you know, verse 3 tells us that the spiritual gifts, without a doubt, are for the glory of God. And as I was reading back over this today, I noticed something in this portion of Scripture that I didn't notice prior in my studies is the Trinity. The Trinity. You know, a lot of people like to say, well, there's no foundation for the Trinity. There's no biblical foundation for the Trinity. But as I read through this portion of passage of Scripture, I saw all three. Verse number 3, the Bible says there, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God. Call it Jesus, Jesus the Son. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but the Holy Ghost. We know now there are diverse gifts, but the same Spirit. There's the Holy Spirit again. And there are differences of ministration, but the same Lord. There's the Son. Again, Jesus is the Lord. And that was verse 3 tell us. Verse 6, and there are diverses of operations, but it is the same God. God the Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You know, it not necessarily has to say the Trinity, but throughout Scripture it designates and talks about the three. And then there's the passage that says these three are one. So as we read through the Bible and we see things like that, well, those are things that I like to underline, like to highlight and mark up, where in one portion of Scripture in context is talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all in there together. And it's a good thing to be able to see those there. But in verses 4 through 11, the Bible begins to talk about the variety of gifts. There are different kinds of gifts. But as it said there in verses 4 through 7, that there is but one Godhead. There's one person that gives them. And He chooses to give them as He desires to give them. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 there it says, for to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now the word of wisdom, word of knowledge were gifts that were given. They enabled them to be able to understand and to apply God's truths to certain situations. It takes a gift of God to have a realization that we are lacking in wisdom. We have to come to that realization. If any man lack wisdom, James says, let him ask of God. Well, you've got to have the ability, the humbleness to say, hey, I lack wisdom. I lack wisdom. And what happens when we lack wisdom and we make that recognition known to God? He giveth all men liberally. God desires to do that. But what is wisdom? Wisdom is knowing God's mind on a certain subject or situation, and not only knowing His mind, but knowing when and how to use the wisdom of God in action. Sometimes we can know what to do, and we don't act right at the right moment, and we mess things up pretty bad, don't we? For instance, how we deal with a 7-year-old and a 12-year-old and a 19-year-old is totally different. But it's the same truth. Same truth that you're trying to get a point across. And so we have the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. These are gifts that are given by God. Look at verse number 9. And to another, faith by the same Spirit. Well, we need faith. We need that gift. But you know, there are some people in our midst that have greater faith than others. I've watched them and I've seen them in action. I've seen their faith in action. Well, they just stand fast. Their faith is just enlarged, it seems, greater than others. Well, why is that? Because it's a gift given by God. Verse 7, back up there, verse 6. Well, let's go back on up to verse 4. And there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration. Remember that I said 7, 12, and 19. You administer the truth differently. You know, with kids at a young age, you can tell them, simply don't do that. Well, why? Because I said not to. And they'll accept it. But as they get older and they grow older, you need to give them some reason. Because I said so don't match up too well in their mind, because they've done seen us go contrary to our own rules too many times. I'm going to tell you, youngins are smart. They got eyes like eagles. The teenagers was talking one day amongst themselves and they said, I have no earthly idea how in the world your dad sees people talking like he does. He said they could be in that hallway talking and his eyes go around the curve, the corner of that hallway, and he sees them talking back there. They didn't understand. This is the funny thing about them. I didn't see them talking. I could hear them talking above us singing. I mean, I was sitting up here one day and they had come in like tonight and they stayed out in the hallway. Brother Jim singing. I said, what is that racket? It was chirping, chirp, chirping, chirp, 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 chirp. And they just kept on. Well, you know what happens. That one can't hear as well as the one right beside him. He gets louder. The other one says, oh, he's loud, so he gets louder. They thought my eyes went around the corner. No, their voice came around the corner. Because I went back there during the service. I said, why are you talking in church? Boy, they said, why? How does he see? It's not a matter of seeing. They just got so loud. But I want to tell you something. Kids see what we do. They hear, they perceive a lot about what we do. And so when you are talking with a six-year-old, because I said so. But as they get older, we need to explain to them why. So they can have some understanding. And I'm telling you, just telling a teenager, 18 years old, just simply because I said, that doesn't cut the mustard. They need to know why. They need to know why. They need to know biblically why. Yeah, but I'm the dad. I'm the authority. Sure, you're the authority. Nobody's disputing that. There's difference of administration. We have to explain to them, and sometimes in great detail, why. Well, why should we have to do that? Because they've seen people do what they have done, and nothing ever was said about it to nobody else. One particular situation, you think about at your job force. If you have working, say, with the boss man's son, and he's up there. The boss man's son sometimes get away with a whole lot more than anybody else can get away with. Am I true or wrong? Sometimes the boss just simply overlooks it. Sometimes the foreman overlooks it because that's the boss man's son. He don't want to say something. I'm telling you, when we're dealing with people, dealing with them, it needs to be equal across the board. No respecter of persons. That's what the Bible talks about. I told Bentley this last night. I said, honey, if a rule is a rule, it has to be the rule for everybody. If not, remove the rule. Remove the rule. If the rule is applied, say we have some kind of a rule here in the church that we feel like would help us, and we don't live by rules, we live by Bible. But sometimes you have to have rules to help things go smoothly. That's why at camp we tell people what to do, how to do, what to bring, what not to bring. Those are the kind of rules we're talking about. And if we had rules that did not apply to my son, but applied to Brother Mike's daughters, that would be wrong. And it would be just as wrong for those rules to apply for my son and not for Brother Mike's daughters. Be no different. So what would be the best thing? Remove the rule. If it's not going to apply to everybody the same way, remove the rule. But different administrations. These mics, they're color-coded. They're all mics. Every last one of these are mics. That's a blue mic. That's an orange mic. For them, that's yellow. That's a red. They're all mics. Every one of them are hooked to the same board up there. But each one has its own peculiarities. This one here might want to give you a little bit more tenor. So they got to adjust it down. If somebody with a tenor singing, it gives too much tenor. Got to adjust it down. Each one is different. Look what the Bible says. They are diverse. Verse 6, diverse is operation, but it is the same God which worketh in all, but the manifestation of the Spirit given to every man. Prophet with love for back in verse 5. I skipped right past it. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. One person working up there, but this one has to be changed a little bit. That one has to be changed. God chooses to give these gifts as He pleases. And God has to administer them as He pleases. You know, God can take the gift of faith that's in Brother Lee and give the same portion of faith to Justin and minister those in different ways, but be the same amount of faith. Well, why? Because He's God. He can do that. He can do that. And you know, healings and miracles and gifts that they talk about, these were credentials to prove that the apostles were chosen men of God. That those verses 9 and 10 where it talks about faith by the same Spirit to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit to another, the working of miracles to another, prophecy to another, discerning the spirits to another, diverse kinds of tongues to another, interpretation of tongues. Hold your place there and flip over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1. Hebrews 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. You see that? He confirmed them. He goes, who's the them? How shall we escape if we neglect the great salvation which at the first began to be spoken of by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them? Who was with them? The apostles. The apostles was there. And that's a confirmation. Healing today, dear friend, happens by the power of God. By much fervent prayer, it can happen. But there is no men, there is no women, there is no prophets, no apostles that today that can walk upon somebody and cleanse them of leprosy by just the very touch of their hand. It happened for confirmation of what? Of the gospel message that, hey, this is truth. You remember whenever Peter and John, my mind's foggy today, but they went to the Gate of Beautiful and they said to the man, arise and walk. He walked. What was the purpose? Later on in that chapter, they got to share the gospel. So Peter and James, John, thank you, brother. Too much Michael. Slowly. Anyway, but the purpose was not just for the man to be healed. It was, wow, look at what they did. There must be something. And remember, they said, Peter and James, John said, why gaze you upon, why are you looking at us as though we did something great? It was all in confirmation that they would be able to see that, hey, these men have the power of God upon them. You know, and then there's the tongues. It says the interpretation of tongues and so forth and so on. You need to go back and look into Acts chapter 2 and see what was the great miracle. There were 17 different languages that was heard. They heard every man in his own tongue. Peter didn't speak 17 different languages. They heard by the power of God their own language. In 1 Corinthians 13, the Bible talks about these same gifts coming to a stoppage, or they would cease at some point in time. When was that? When that which is perfect is come. When was that which is perfect? We have a perfect Word of God. Perfect Word of God. You know, these were temporary gifts. And as we study next chapter, chapter 13, you'll be able to see more into that. Not everyone has the same gifts. People have gift of hospitality. People have gift of organization. Well, I'll tell you, I've seen some people organize events and things and get it laid out. They have absolutely no people skills whatsoever. Is that bad? No, that's how God made them. God's not running a cookie cutter in heaven. He saves us with the baggage that we carry and equips us for His honor and His glory. That's why He fitly frames the church together. That's why the next verse that we've, in verse 12, 13 right there in the chapter, when we pick up there, it says, for by one Spirit are all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or have been all made to drink in the Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. Can you imagine having a bunch of folks in our church run around with sticky notes? We were just note takers. I mean, we got sticky pads everywhere, here and there. What's all these sticky pads for? Well, we're organizing for an event. The event comes and goes. What we was organized for. You have to have differences of operations. That's what it's talking about there in verse 6. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God. You know what the message here is, church? The message is it's all about God. Let Him use us. You know what we got to do? We got to be willing to become or yield ourselves to become that vessel that God would desire to drink from. I'm just to be honest, Brother Lee, there's been some time in my life that God wouldn't want to drink from this old vessel. I wasn't a vessel of honor. I was a vessel of selfishness. I was a vessel of look at me. I was a vessel that was all about me. I was a vessel of wanting preeminence. And when I come to the point and realize, hey, this thing's all about God, much bigger than I could ever think about me. I was reading an article yesterday and it kind of bummed me out a little bit, church. It really did. Not for my sake. It did for other men of God who I know that are out there that are probably struggling with growth. You know, everything's surrounded by numbers. You know what keeps me focused? They need to get back to reading the Bible. And Jesus had 12 apostles, and he narrowed them down to 3 apostles that he spent the majority of his time with. And the Bible said when they were said and done, they turned the world upside down. So it's really, and he had multitudes. Don't get me wrong, he did. If God desires to give us more and more, that's his business. My job is to give us and ourselves more to him. I was reading this article, and it was really, really kind of bothered me a little bit. But the article was saying that when churches grow or decline in growth, it's all the preacher's fault. Can you imagine if there was a preacher who just went through a church split who read that article? I mean, he loved his people, cared for the flock, studied, prayed. He's down on his lower knee now, waiting for somebody just to pick him up, help him, pray for him. And here's this yay bird writing an article about every time there's a decrease in membership or increase in membership, it's the preacher's fault. I thought, what if one of them guys read it and decide to call it quits, Brother Vernon? And this comes in a Christian periodical. What happened to carry ye one another's burdens? So, listen, that is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. Now, listen, I count leadership great. There is no secondary thing for leadership. It has to be, but it's not. Listen. You can't help when church splits happen every time. You really can't. You can't help when folks move off. You know, it'd be like Sunday school teacher. Sister Rena, a couple of months back, yours kind of got a little low because people went on up there to Sister Rhonda's class. Sister Rhonda, I think this time you had like 4 leave out of your class. That'd be like me saying, well, that's Sister Rena's fault and Sister Rhonda's fault. Let them kids grow up. What in the world are they doing? You see how silly that sounds there? And I'm thinking about that. And then I read all them comments. And I'm glad I wasn't the only one, because there was a whole bunch of people that commented that said, this is the most unbiblical article I've ever read in my life. And one guy said, what about weaker brethren right now? What about some church that's only running 12? Are they not any important in God's eyes than one that's running 1,200? We get our eyes focused on the wrong things. Amen. You know what we do? Well, boy, look at his gift or look at her gift, and I wish I had that one. Why don't we just be satisfied with who God's made us? Amen. And say, Lord, use me right here where you planted me. Now, there are diverses of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. What does that mean? That means that some Sunday school teachers are not going to teach their class like I teach my class. We're different. Different. Well, aren't you glad, Sunday? Can you imagine little kids that grew up from Sister Rena's class and got all the way up to the adult thing and we're all the same? They think we're robots. Have you ever seen that commercial? There's a commercial that comes on the radio now. It talks about kids who spend too much time around the radios, PlayStations, and they're talking like a robot. And the dad said, maybe we need to go out and see some trees or something. Well, that's how our kids would grow up. By the time they get up there, they'd just be little Christian robots, instead of being pure images of Christ. They can look back and say, boy, I had a teacher, and she was like this, and had another teacher, he was like that, but every last one of them, in their own little way, they pointed me closer and closer to the Lord. That's what it's supposed to be like. And we can be used of God mightily, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. God desires a profit from us. Not money profit, but fruit that might remain. He desires that down the road that those little kids stay in church because of some Sister Rena taught. Some truth that she taught all the way back down yonder to the very beginning class. And then when they get on up there in age, they can look back when they're in troubled times. Maybe they're having an argument with their spouse and there's some truth that they learned in the teen class. They grab hold of that and say, I'm staying put because this truth was taught to me. Because it's not personalities that's going to keep people steadfast. It's the Word of God. Oh, we can latch on to personalities. They change and come and go quick like that, don't they? I mean, sometimes our own personalities in the days, we can wake up high on the hall, and by noontime we're down in the... I'm just... Lord, the world's against me. Before breakfast hit, oh, we was on top of it. We'd have fought Muhammad Ali. Lunch come around, we don't want to fight, Napoleon Dynamite. Y'all never saw Napoleon Dynamite. Don't waste your time. I watched it one time with my sons, and that was an hour and 49 minutes and 2/10 of a second. I'll never, ever get back. It was a wasted hour and 49 minutes. Wasted. I tell you this, church, if we'll just let God take the gifts He's given us, use us, yield ourselves to Him, and allow Him to drink out of our vessels, He'll get the glory. He will. Let's stand our feet.